Dave Moore on Today FM.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm the best. Thank you.
Welcome home. Yes. I guess I can still call this home. But you spend most of your time, obviously, the other side of the world.
I do. 15 years in Australia.
And is it the In Excess connection that brought you there, or were you going there anyway? Was this like, what's the story with the Australian location?
About 16 years ago, I was touring Australia with Paolo Nutini. So there was the first name drop.
There'll be plenty in this chat, yes. Don't worry, from you and me.
Yeah. And I had 4 days off in Sydney, and it was between Paolo's shows, and I was staying in this gorgeous house in the northern beaches of Sydney. I thought I'd arrived in heaven on the beach with a yacht parked at the bottom of the garden. And Andrew Farris, the keyboard player, and me and songwriter from NXS was living up the road, and they were all friends. And literally for the 4 days, every day I would socialize with this guy who'd written Need You Tonight and New Sensation, all these NXS hits. And I'm gushing every day telling him how great he is. And we got to hang out and play a bit of music together, and that's where this sort of connection. And I went back to Ireland thinking I'd never see him again, and got a call 6 months later going, hey, do you want to come back down and try out as the singer of NXS?
Wow.
That's how it happened.
That's an incredible phone call to get, but also an incredibly intimidating situation to find yourself in, because no matter how confident you are as a performer and a singer, you are Kieran McGribben.
Yeah.
And Michael Hutchence is Michael Hutchence.
Yeah.
And NXS, you know, I guess getting the band to a point where they wanted to do another series of shows requires, you know, someone to step up into those shoes.
Yeah, I think I was lucky in the fact that they had done that TV show, if people remember, called Rockstar in Excess, and they had a guy turn with them, JD Fortune, who won the TV show.
That's right, JD.
They were unhappy.
Right.
We don't need to go into the details why they were unhappy, but I just was right place at the right time where they were unhappy with this guy, and I was the guy that came in and had left a bit of a lasting impression on Andrew. And Andrew was kind of, I wouldn't say he was the boss of the band, but he was influential in convincing the rest of them. And, you know, they were saying, who are we going to get? And he goes, I might have the guy. I met this Irish boy a few months ago. And that's how these things happen.
Love that.
But you still had to get the gig. I flew to Australia for 4 days. Because my wife was pregnant at the time, 8 months pregnant. With our first baby. So I went down, met the band, wrote a few songs with Andrew over the 4 days. And I literally, the night as I was flying out of Australia, that whole day we were in the studio together, and they set up and recorded me singing with them a few of the songs. And I left. They kind of just, I did 3 or 4 songs and they looked at each other and nodded at each other in the room as an approval. And Tim, Andrew's brother, just went, man, the gig's yours if you want it.
Wow. So you're flying back with that ringing in your ears.
I got onto the plane that night in the evening, flying back to Dublin, going, I think I've just got the gig singing with NXS. And I'm like, I couldn't sleep with adrenaline and excitement. And then got home, and Donna, my wife, had to, the small job of having a baby.
The small matter, yeah.
Yeah, and 2 months after James was born, we were all on an airplane to Australia. And I, you know, was living the dream of, you know, as a child, we all do as musicians, dream of those big stages.
Big stadiums, yeah.
You know, and here I am standing on a stadium stage with NXS.
And I've seen bands over the years famously replace a singer for whatever reason. But like, you know, some of the fallen singers. So Queen obviously got Adam Lambert in. Yeah. Alice in Chains, one of my favorite bands, got William Duval in. And William Duval was a lead singer in an Alice in Chains covers band before he became the singer for Alice in Chains.
I didn't know that.
There you go. And he sounds unbelievably like Lane Staley, who unfortunately passed away. And you're in the situation where you do this. I wonder, like, when, because you've obviously developed your own voice, right? When you're in a situation and that opportunity arises, is the gig impersonating Michael Hutchence? Or is the gig, no, like Andrew and I get on musically, professionally, we respect each other, and therefore I'm going to bring Kieran onto this gig and that's going to be who sings these songs. How did you approach it?
With a lot of nervous energy. I remember speaking to a really good friend who's a wonderful musician. I was in a band with him for 7 years, Michael Keeney, and I was worried about it all. And Keeney said, man, just, you're using the same muscles as you've always done. You're a singer. Just get up on stage and sing in tune. Keep it simple.
Okay, keep it simple.
And that was the attitude I had then. You know, it's all easier said than done when you're the band drops into the first track and you're watching 10,000 people jumping up and down to Suicide Blonde, and the adrenaline's flowing, and you're you know, you're trying to breathe and stay in tune. Look, after a couple of gigs, I'd got, honestly, after two gigs, the nerves had gone because we'd done the set. I knew what I was
walking into.
And I was walking down on stage and I'd got the swagger. I was like, well, I'm going to embrace being the rock star.
Absolutely.
When else am I going to do this? So, you know, again, I was determined to sing in tune, try and not imitate Michael, but at the same time, people want to hear the songs sang
as they remember them.
And you have to sing those melodies and all those little lines that are in the melodies and try and stay true to that, which I did try my best to do so. And thankfully, the reviews of the gigs were kind.
They really were.
And the audience loved it. And, you know, it was 50 shows, just over 1 year of touring with this band. Started in South America, in Peru, in Arequipa. And, you know, my second gig was probably one of the biggest shows was in Buenos Aires, and there was 30,000 people headlining a festival. Like, you know, that was amazing, but like the bill on the festival, you had Liam Gallagher on the bill, you had Ziggy Marley on the bill, and we're all backstage with these guys.
You're peers with these people now.
Yeah, I'm standing stage watching these guys on, and then we're up next, and I'm like, oh my God, how did I get here?
So let's go back to your musical beginnings, because that's always a very interesting place. To find out where this all came from. So what inspired you to become a singer, pick up a guitar, or whatever it was?
It actually started with poetry first. I was born on a little road called the Broke Road, which is the same road that Seamus Heaney was born on.
Right.
So, and Heaney was very much writing poems about the area, like very famous poems like Digging and stuff.
You would have connected with the actual locations.
And he drops names of people, of neighbours that are sadly no longer, including my family name, Gribben, and where I built my house, Anna Horish. So you were in good company.
Absolutely.
As far as like influential people. That influence was there, the spoken word, the written word. But music, it came pretty early as well. It was traditional Irish first. And I would start writing songs 6, 7 years of age.
Wow.
And at 11, I bought my first guitar, an electric guitar. And it started from then. It wasn't so much trying to learn covers. It was, I want to create songs.
It's a very different thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the 15, I was gigging and I got my first payday as a musician. And that was it. I was like, right, but people are going to pay me for this.
It's a profession now. You can actually do it. Yeah.
And by 17, 18, Paul, that same friend, and I and a few others were in the pubs of Belfast every weekend, 17, 18, 19, you know, playing in, you know, both sides of the community.
Sure,
some very, very sketchy pubs.
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah.
Sketchy characters in the pubs and, you know, stuff going down. But music was an amazing way to escape all the sort of sectarian and the violence and hatred that was there. And I could see it, how it was affecting the rooms as well. I'd be as a lovely perspective standing on stage and watching a room come alive and see a dance floor fill where you're playing whatever the song may be, Dancing Queen by ABBA or YMCA or whatever it may be we were doing, party songs. But that was I got the taste of what it was like being a performer and an entertainer, and I just fell in love with being on stage, but to a backdrop of continually writing songs.
Okay.
My entire 20s of chasing this dream, and we were all about to, you know, we're going mad, and the band split up, and I said to my manager in London, I don't want to gig ever again. I was that sick of it. I just want to write songs.
Mm.
So I would fly into London regularly and stay at my manager's house, and he would set up these opportunities to write.
So writing sessions where there are people getting together to try and create a song for the song's sake, or maybe for a particular artist or whatever.
Yep. Sometimes, most of the time, it's just, let's get you in a room with that talented person and write,
and
see what
happens.
Can come up.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where my first real big break came, was Madonna. And that was
Celebration.
And that was working with Paul Oakenfold, again, another name. And Oakenfold, obviously an influential
huge dance
act, iconic legendary DJ and producer, and he's best friends with Madonna, and that was a case of not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
And she recorded which became Celebration, which was wonderful to be Madonna's recording a song that we're doing, but it became the title track of her greatest hits. And then it went number one in 14 countries and was Grammy nominated. I went from a guy who was like trying to chase the dream to the phones ringing and the emails are coming, and this label and that publisher wants you to write so that for this movie everything. Soundtrack or that artist.
Did you do Killing Bono?
I wrote all the music for Killing Bono.
What a great movie and a great book as well, actually.
I'm glad to hear you think it was great. It was a wonderful, it was about 6 months of my life. I started, I knew in London a lady called Jackie Perriman who ran Paul McCartney's publishing house, and Jackie had saw me perform and she knew what I was capable of as a songwriter, and she introduced me to the director as they were writing the script.
Okay.
So I got in right at the start, and there was 12 original songs, and I co-produced it with Michael Keeney, who was in Leia with me, and Mike Hedges, who produced The Cure.
Mike Hedges as well, yeah.
And R.E.M. And
amazing
producer, and all recorded in Ballymena in the north. And then I worked with the actors, Robbie Sheehan and Ben Barnes, putting them through their paces on the album. And I was on set every day working with them.
That's a big commitment then, yeah.
It was just like literally 6 months, 7 months of my life I dedicated to that.
Well, I love that project. It was great. I'm glad you did that. And the thing about it is that you're still doing your own music, your own songs. I mean, there's gigs coming up. You got a gig in Derry and a gig in Whelan's here in Dublin.
Yes. I'm looking forward to Derry and Whelan's. Derry's a festival called Live at the Square, a beautiful square on the waterside called Ebrington Square. Gorgeous, looking over the Peace Bridge across the Foyle. And, you know, I'll be doing a set of In Excess songs. And the night I'm on, it's very nostalgia, 80s, 90s. We've got Chesney Hawkes, I Am the One and Only.
Amazing.
We've got Mark Almond from Softwell, Tainted Love, and ABC. If you remember.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's happening in Derry on August 30. And the following Sunday.
September 6th.
Yes, cannot wait. I've gigged Whelan's many times, but this is special because I'm a little bit older now. I used to worry and stress, but now I'm coming in. I can do a set of In Excess songs. I can do the Madonna song. I can do Killing Bono songs.
Absolutely.
And original material I'm thankfully writing and releasing.
Is there a new single coming out in July?
New single coming out in July called Tighten Up the Knot.
Tighten Up the Knot. Okay, look forward to that.
Talking about my two boys.
Amazing. Right, well, listen, Kieran, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Best luck with the shows. August 30th, Derry City, Live at the Square Festival. September 6th, Whelan's in Dublin. And the website, kierangribben.com. Go and visit that. Find out all the music information. And thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure.
Cheers. Dave Moore on Today FM.